escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan standing by for Jared Sandler. He'll join us here momentarily. Our Rangers insider at the breaks. Are you guys just pretty much refreshing Cowboys Twitter and looking for the latest? This has been a fun day too, hasn't it? Apparently, we just had a fight, and I think Marquise Bell was involved. I think Tyler Guyton was involved.
Troy Pride and then Tyler Neville, who's one of the backup tight ends.
Okay.
And then immediately, Shoddy pulled the whole team together, and he was not happy with it. He wants to get in some good work, and the next person that ends up getting in a fight, they're getting kicked out of practice. So Shoddy wasn't having it. So there were some over-unders this morning from Bobby, one of which was, would we see Shoddy chew out a player? Well, he didn't just do it to a player. He kind of chewed out the whole team there.
He did, and I think the issue looking at the coverage is that Troy Pride had to go to the tent to get checked out afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it's one thing if it's a depth guy, you know, but you don't want any injuries. And if there's unnecessary injuries, you know, I don't know. I think you want intensity. You want a brotherhood. You want guys taken out for each other. But when you have 90 guys together, there's going to be some fisticuffs. There's going to be some fights. And as a competitor, I don't know if I really want to have a full training camp without any fights. I want guys fighting for jobs so hard that they get jammed up. I want guys so desperate to make a good impression so they can call their family after practice and say, I think I did it today. You know, and maybe you can. Maybe you can burn so hot and still be able to hold that off. But if you're looking at 90 guys and nobody wants to fight, I think you got a dog problem on your hands. And this team's had that problem for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. And especially when you're preaching physicality and all that kind of stuff, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But you also, I understand a coach saying like, hey, we don't, you know, in the back of his mind, he's probably like, this ain't that bad of a thing, but we don't need to get carried away with it either.
Well, it's the second day of practice. Like, I think typically you would see this later on. You're starting to get annoyed. You want to go ahead and hit somebody other than your teammates where you've been doing this for 2 weeks. That's when you start to see the scuffle. Second day of practice, that one's a little rare.
I mean, the realest stuff I ever saw over the years was Dez Bryant and Tyler Patman.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, it raises the intensity. Like, you have a fight and then you restart practice. I mean, there's just a little bit of some extra juice to it. So, I mean, Dez had a number of great fights. I don't know if he won any of them, but they were very entertaining. DeMarco Murray and Sean Lee used to always be in each other's face. Like, you go back 2013, 14, 15, and 16, a linebacker, you know, running back, and there would be stuff being said. So, you know, I don't know. I guess this goes along with Schottenheimer's desire to build a group of guys that care about each other and are family. And does it go to discipline? You know, does it go to, you know, to hey, let's manage to play at that edge without going over. So we're going to train our bodies and our emotions right now to make sure they don't get the best of us. We don't want any you know, extracurricular flags and stuff. Okay, so we're going to get Sands here. He's down line. He's at Jared Sandler. He is brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, what's up? How's it going, guys?
Well, I mean, you tell us, man. This is really starting to feel great. The offense is flowing. The performance from Jacob DeGrom, the ball flying out of the yard. Like, I know it hasn't been long enough, Jared, but how's the clubhouse now? How's the tone around the ballpark here as they've won, what, 5 of 6? Is that if you consider everything?
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a boring answer, but it's kind of the same as it was when they were struggling. And I think that's a part of the beauty of this team that's definitely, you know, a part of the 23 team is, you know, when they were struggling, it was the same guys playing ping pong who played ping pong when they won 40 of their first 60. And same guys sitting and doing the crossword or playing, you know, Immaculate Grid was big back then. And it was just the same guys doing the same things. And, you know, obviously after the game, the clubhouse has been in a better mood, you know, more often than not here of late. But, you know, showing up to the yard day of, getting ready for the game, you really honestly, I don't think, would know the difference between the way the team's been playing here now versus, you know, the beginning of the season when they were struggling to really get going.
Probably why they're so clutch and why, you know, in the biggest moments, maybe they perform better than the competition there in 2023. Let's talk health of these players. Higashioka has been amazing this month. Last night, exiting the game with a hammy that can be tough to come back from. What do we know about this hammy, though, Sands?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at Twitter to see if anything, you know, was announced a second ago, but I would expect that Kyle Higashioka would go on the IL. You know, the Rangers, the hamstring's not an easy thing to just bounce back from, and you know, the tone last night from folks was that, you know, this wasn't going to be a, hey, you know, I'll just give him a couple days and he'll be back type of deal. And so if that's the case, then the Rangers are going to have to, you know, figure out what they want to do. You know, Tucker Barnhart was in the organization but retired earlier this year, you know, in the middle of the season. And Cooper Johnson's a guy in AAA who I guess would be next man up, but I don't know that he's a guy that, you know, for a team that's pushing to make a postseason run, I maybe he's the guy, or maybe they're going to look elsewhere. You know, the trade deadline's coming up here, and, you know, I hate to say beauty, but the interesting thing with injuries is right around this time, you kind of count your chickens a little bit, you know, with a depth or an area where you think you have depth and something goes wrong. Well, you can do something about it now. You know, 2 weeks from now, you can't. So, you know, I think the Rangers perhaps are making calls, have made calls to see what's out there in terms of a backup catcher, a guy who can hold down the fort until Higgy comes back. So, but, you know, it's really a bummer because, you know, his struggles offensively at the beginning of the year, I think you can kind of tie to, you know, when he had the intercostal injury that put him on the IL. And then when he came back, it seemed like it took a little bit of time for him to get going. But really over the last, you know, few weeks, he's been a really big part of the offensive production at the bottom of the order.
It's like, I was just asking Yavin at the open of the show with how well he's played. And then unfortunately, Jonah Heim's regression offensively since the World Series year. They spent a first-round pick on Moore just a year ago, but I mean, catcher does seem like it could be a sneaky need for this baseball team in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, they drafted Malcolm Moore, their first-round pick last year, and I think the hope is, you know, especially given that he's a, you know, Stanford guy, college guy, that, you know, he could maybe progress a little bit faster, but he, you know, missed a lot of time earlier this year with a broken finger, and so, and I don't know that he would have necessarily been an option at this point. You know, I think would have been more likely if this was in 2026. But yeah, you know, they clearly have identified, and I think every organization always recognizes the need for catchers. I mean, heck, look at the Orioles. They got Adley Rutschman. They got one of the best, maybe the best catching prospect in baseball in Samuel Basayo, and then they went and drafted a couple of catchers too, with Bodine and Ike Irish, and Irish can play the outfield. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those positions where the minute you think you got depth, you know, one day later, one injury later, and maybe you're not as secure as you thought. So yeah, I think that, you know, it could be a guy like I talked about, a veteran who can just plug a hole, or maybe, Zach, kind of to your point, maybe they find a guy who's got some team control and someone who can be around for a little bit of time, and maybe this injury to Higgy is just kind of what encourages them to go out and seek that guy. But, you know, I think long-term, hopefully, you know, Malcolm Moore can be that guy, but, you know, even if he is, you always need more than just one good catcher, unless you're talking about an all-world catcher like Cal Raleigh, But, you know, even Cal has Mitch Garver backing him up. And, you know, that's if your catcher is as good with the bat as, you know, you'd like him to be, then you want him to be in the lineup more often. Well, then you probably need more DH days for him too. So that mean that that in some ways only further emphasizes the importance of having a good backup catcher.
We get some movement in the bullpen.
Yeah, yeah. You guys see that? So Luke Jackson DFA'd and John Gray activated. So, you know, John Gray is going to pitch in a kind of a swing role. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if John made some starts. Wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he pitches in some high leverage back of the bullpen type of situation. So, you know, Luke came in. He was a spring training sign. The Rangers weren't really sure who was going to hold down the ninth on opening day. You know, there was an out that should have been made that wasn't, and wasn't scored an error, but play that should have been made that allowed the Red Sox to, you know, take control in the ninth. And, you know, after that, though, Luke was really good for a couple weeks and helped the team bank some wins early. Remember, the Rangers got off to a decent start. And then, you know, it's just kind of been inconsistent. And, you know, obviously, you know, the Rangers have, as you guys know, we really haven't had many of these conversations about a bullpen shakeup. They've actually had remarkable roster consistency with their bullpen. You know, the core of relievers that they started the season with have been their core. And, you know, Luke Jackson's was a part of that. But, you know, he's kind of the guy who hadn't been pitching as well. And so, you know, with John Gray being activated off the 60, you got to make a 40-man roster move. And, you know, second time around, Luke Jackson, second stint with the organization. You know, he certainly helped plug some holes early, but, you know, unfortunately just wasn't getting it done at the level he needed to secure the roster spot.
Assuming John Gray's sharp and his profile is about what it's been for his career, you know, what kind of potential does he have? What's his ceiling in a relief role?
Well, there are a couple of things that it's always tough to measure. One, if you were going to put him in the eighth or ninth innings, which, you know, ninth inning is obviously the highest, as a closer, the highest leverage spot. But eighth inning isn't, you know, isn't something to just scoff at. How's he going to do when that first opportunity to save a game or protect a lead goes awry, right? Because we've seen John in the bullpen. He's been really good, you know, even in the playoffs. But what happens when that first one doesn't go well? And how do you bounce back, right? Well, because, you know, they might need you the next day. And that next day might be a one-run situation. And, heck, it might be a one-run situation with the best guys the other team has due up. That's always a tough thing to quantify. And for some guys, they can do it in the eighth, but they can't do it in the ninth. And I don't know that John is or isn't going to get the ninth inning. I mean, there certainly is not a lock on that inning by anyone on the roster at this time. You know, the Rangers can mix and match, but and maybe Sean Armstrong becomes that guy with how good he's been. But and then the other thing is just the recovery. You know, starting pitchers are used to pitching and they throw a lot, and then they, you know, they got their 4 days to build back up, and then they throw again and they do it again and do it again, and they know they have that rhythm, they have that consistency. So, you know, how will John fare over a longer stretch with maybe having an inconsistent role, or, you know, an inconsistent pattern in which he works after a career in which he has, you know, basically lived exclusively in the rotation, save for a few outings. So those are the things that, you know, I don't know. As far as the stuff, Gavin, high velocity fastball, it's not like a dominant fastball that, you know, metrically grades out top notch, but when you throw it 97 miles an hour, that you know, that's good. Like that plays. And it's the slider that's the key. You know, he has got a very, very good slider. That's his swing and miss pitch. That's the, you know, that's the dominant, you know, offering he can go to that, you know, it seems like every good high leverage reliever has at least one of. And so then the key is, you know, with that fastball, just being able to command it properly. And, you know, if he can, I don't see any reason why John couldn't be a really good asset for this team in the bullpen.
The Rangers were named as a possible fit for Marcell Ozuna, the Braves' DH. Does that make sense to you?
So yes and no. The Rangers obviously have not gotten a ton out of their DH, and they've moved some guys around. I guess the question is, to answer that, Gavin, what do you think you're going to get from Jock Peterson? And I know you can't expect to just get the best version of Jock. I feel pretty good about, you know, getting better than what you got. But you don't want either guy in the outfield consistently. Maybe Ozuna's a little more palatable than Jock, but it's not like you know, he's going to be an asset there. And the thing with Ozuna, guys, that kind of concerns me a little bit, he got off to a great start. I don't know if you guys have looked, but his numbers since the end of May have been pretty atrocious.
He's lost playing time, hasn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm going to go and get that guy, I got to feel really good about something that tells me he's going to turn things around. The other thing, guys, he is a free agent at the end of the year, but there's a lot of money tied to that contract. So unless the Rangers are going to, you know, the front office convinces ownership to go above that lower luxury tax threshold, I'm not sure, you know, without other money being sent back to Atlanta or elsewhere in a deal, I don't know that financially it's a deal that would make sense for them. But it's just tough to get a DH only because you have one and you signed him to a two-year deal just shy of $40 million because he is a really good hitter. And I think your best bet is to hope that he goes back to being something close to that guy. That's not to say you don't go out and get people. You do, and we talked about the other day getting guys who can hit lefties. But with Marcell Ozuna's contract and how bad he's been for the last 2 months, I don't know if that's the dice roll you want to make.
Some are calling it the worst interview of all time. Jared, did you hear our Rowdy conversation yesterday?
I still haven't. I heard something about Brisket Sandoz being involved, but I'll say one of my favorite things. Someone also mentioned to me that one of you guys asked him about being a minister. Well, you know, he's MOT. You know, they're all members of the tribe who play Major League Baseball are you know, they need to be held sacredly. So I don't know if the minister works in his future, but I haven't heard it. I haven't heard all of it, but you know, Rowdy seems like a really good guy, and I'm sure that. I'm sure he had fun with it.
I was offending everybody, Sandler, and I apologize to you and him and everybody else. Who all have you heard from on this when you say, I've heard about this? Who's talking to you about it?
Yeah,
just Sean and RJ.
No, I did hear that they did a segment on it. I haven't had
per
time
hour.
To... Yeah. Oh, really? You guys have some... I mean, are we going to do like a Royal Rumble or some sort of like tag team fight between you guys and them? Will you guys overlap in Oxnard or no?
Yeah, we're gonna be there same time.
All right, maybe the tennis courts get a little you know, a little boxing match.
I mean, luckily usually they've gotten totally hammered and passed out before our show's over, so I don't know how much socializing we'll do. But man, I did want to ask you about Evaldi. I guess it's going to be Corbin tonight, is that for sure?
Yeah, Corbin tonight. I think the expectation is that Evaldi will pitch this weekend, so
right on.
Yeah, that's good. Obviously, you know, anything with the back can be a concern, but you know, he seemed pretty confident right afterwards that, you know, it wasn't going to be like an extended absence, something that he even has said he had dealt with in the past. And so I think the hope is that, you know, he'll be able to start one of the games against Atlanta this weekend and then get right back on track.
Sounds good, brother. Anything else about our Rangers to tell us about before we let you go?
Well, yeah, I mean, the only thing I'd say, guys, just on the topic of Jock Peterson, he's been taking some live batting practice, and, you know, he could effectively be a big trade deadline acquisition. You know,
if I think he'll be better than Ozuna in the second half.
Yeah, right? I agree, Gavin. I think that, I don't know, and a part of it is no – there's no need to take on additional money when you kind of have that guy. But no, I agree with you, Gavin. I think that I don't like hope as a plan, but I just think given, you know, the resources available or what we believe to be available, I think, you know, the Rangers really need Jock Peterson to come back and be really effective. Now, it doesn't address needs against lefties, but I think you can make some smaller moves to help fortify your mix against left-handed pitching with some platoon guys. But, you know, I think Jock Peterson, I know fans didn't get the best first impression because he got off to a slow start, but I think he's a guy who could really, you know, win some fans over here in the second half. He's you know, getting a little bit of a mental break, physical break, obviously, and then just sprint through the finish line could be a big asset.
Well, I have my broom out tonight in Sunnyvale watching Jared. Best of luck. Let's talk about it Friday and celebrate.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. A must follow for Rangers fans everywhere here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Do have an injured Cowboy or maybe there's something else, but a starter not at practice. Tons of stuff coming out of Oxnard. Brian Broad is going to step on the tennis courts and join the show as well with Krusty's Corner right around the corner. And we're back here. It's the
Escape the Heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. I think we're getting a CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens duo celebration that Foots the King posted about 15 minutes ago. Let me retweet that at G-Bag Nation, where I'm retweeting quite a bit of the highlights from practice. Broadus is heading for the tennis courts. He's going to check in with us shortly. It's time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. Got Wanya Thomas with the PBU. Kyir Elam had a PBU at every OTA practice. He just had a pick.
Sure
okay?
did.
Okay. So let's talk about it here. That's the G-Bag Nation, our training camp coverage brought to you by the on-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. I think this is an injury report brought to you by Greystone Roofing. They've got you covered when the hits keep coming. And George Pickens took a hit on a catch. I don't know if he secured the catch, but he did stay down. And they thought, man, maybe he got his bell rung or something. Maybe he got lit up, wind knocked out of him. Nope, had a calf cramp. So he was down with a calf cramp, and I guess 'tis the season, for that kind of stuff. Usually that's a dehydration heat deal, though. Hopefully that doesn't linger anything. There was the Kyir Elam pick, but then no Deron Bland at practice. I saw that report from Calvin Watkins, so we'll get the latest here from Broadus here in just a second. Are you out there, Brian? Do I hear tennis court activity?
I am here.
Right on. How'd it go?
I tell you what, I got a little echo in my ears right now.
Okay. We'll get that fixed.
So let's see if we can get that fixed. This will be a long day if this is going to be like this.
Okay. Well, let us know when it is fixed. Obviously the Kyir Elam interception of Dak Prescott. Dak picked yesterday. There was that piece we were just talking about in the opening hour in the Athletic New York Times today about, Shoddy taking over his OC last year in one of his first practices with Dak. Dak threw a pick.
Yeah.
Shoddy benches him. And Dak was ticked off, bleeping pissed, I think is how he put it. And it sort of was the beginning of the relationship. And I just love to hear that because I think, Dak could benefit from, that reminder. And that was something that Jason Garrett was very good at controlling early in his career. But two out of the last 3 years, it has become a bit of an issue. Brian, you back with us now?
I believe so. Yes. Thank you very much for everybody involved to get me back on the air. I really do appreciate that. Yeah. Interesting practice today from a lot of different from angles. Thought it was a good day defensively. Offense really emphasized quick passing game today. So a lot of the stuff off the read action, the read option, and then throwing the ball into the flat, whether it was to CD or whether it was to Pickens or to Turpin. So a lot more of the quick passing game. Joe Milton seems to be the one that wants to throw the ball down the field a little bit more when given the opportunity. But I thought a good day overall for the defense.
More run than pass again, or more?
No,
passing?
It was pretty much the running that the offense tried today wasn't nearly as successful as it was yesterday. They didn't have the space, and they didn't get the movement that they had. Matt Eberflus was moving his fronts, and I mean moving his fronts. He was trying to slant into some things and trying to get his guys on the move. He probably figures if he's going to play a little small up front. And there was a time on second down where they had Toa and then also the Mozzie Smith in the game together. So they had two big guys inside. Well, Mozzie being supposedly a big guy, he's not like with Toya, but yeah, that's what they were kind of working on there on second down, but just not the seams that they had running the football. I know yesterday I talked to you guys about, okay, there was some really good push on the front side, and then the ball cuts to the backside, and then you're able to kind of have some running lanes there, but it just didn't materialize today. Much better job by the linebackers and the defensive linemen not to get gashed on some of those runs.
Yeah, I saw Felice was working with the linebackers hands-on.
He was coaching the linebackers today.
Clayton Adams was over there working with the linemen.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was up in the stands today, and so it was a good view. I was, I was on the defensive side of the field, and the offense works in that far corner over there, especially with the offensive linemen. So, these coaches that they've got some coaches that don't have quite the NFL experience. And listen, if they're going to start implementing offense and scheme and all that, give me the guys that the architects. Give me the Clayton Adams. Give me the Matt Eberflus. Give me those guys hands-on coaching these guys up.
Really nice of the Cowboys to put those bleachers out there for the media this year, Brian.
Well, I tell you what, I went up in the stands. I was a common man today. Yeah. I was a common man sitting up in the stands, and it was, I had my bottle of water and then my notebook and all that, so it was nice to be a part of that, because you could see, they switch fields from one field to the other, and I was over on the big bleacher side field today is where they got the most of the work. Was really worried about the Pickens thing. I mean, it was actually a really nice play on a route to the outside that Booth was in coverage on, and he was able to make the play. And then when Pickens didn't get up, everybody on the sidelines for defense is celebrating, but Pickens is laying on the ground, and then you kind of see the defensive players all waving the trainers over, and you're like, oh, please don't let this be like something with a knee or ankle or things like that. But then he eventually got up and then made his way to the other side of the field. So it was good to see that from the offensive standpoint.
But you're hearing just a cramp, not a pull?
Yeah, I was like I say, he walked off. I'll get the injury report after practice here when they get inside and be able to circle back and kind of find out what in fact he. I was thinking, he wasn't limping or anything like that. So that to me was very encouraging.
Brian, we saw the offensive linemen working on Twitter, as Wolchuk pointed out. They were working in twos, getting up and running out to the right. Then I don't know if this was correlated, but in team it got started, and they're running out. They had this little tunnel screen to CeeDee Lamb, and he fought his way through the traffic. That was just awesome.
Yeah, that's what they were working on today. A lot of the quick game where you get the shotgun snap and then you ride that fake and you try and draw everybody to one side, and then as they're drawing people, then you throw the screen back the other way. And it was effective a couple of different times where they threw it. Lamb was really good at it. Pickens was good at it. And then, of course, with Turpin, they get the ball to him pretty quick. So that was a pretty successful little wrinkle they had involved today.
Are you seeing Clayton Adams with the offensive line the way that you were hoping?
Eric, I was on in the stands, so defense was to my field today, and they were over on the far field, way over on the other side. Now, he's behind when they're doing the team stuff and things like that. You could see all the coaches are all together, but as far as individual, they don't let us walk back there anymore. We used to be able to, walk on that ramp, and they said now it's a fire hazard, so I'm like, okay. Fire hazard. I need to just go back there and watch and see. But yeah, when they're on the field tomorrow, I don't know if you have practice tomorrow. I think we might have an off day tomorrow. But I need to get over on the other side and then watch him a little bit and see how they've got that thing split up. Because I was with the defensive guys. I was with Flus and them today.
So what did you see this little practice skirmish that happened, and then Shoddy goes ahead and gets the entire
team
together?
He was MFing them. Yeah, he was MFing them, basically. It was they along the sidelines there, they had a little bit of a problem there with Tyler Neville. He seems to be a guy that kind of makes everybody mad. You know, he's like and so he's blocking, probably past the whistle, and all of a sudden now the he's over into the defensive bench. And now there's pushing and shoving going on. And then Shoddy's like, you know, he calls everybody together and it's quiet. And you hear a couple of F-bombs and something about if we fight it, you know, if there's a swing again, we're going to do. And, you know, you really didn't get – I'm sure the media will get to the bottom exactly. But I heard the two F-bombs that he dropped for sure.
The highlight of the presser was Shoddy, maybe when he was talking about he doesn't like to be static, it makes it too easy on the defense. Was there a good conversation about that?
Yeah, I mean, it actually happened today, too. I mean, there was the movement that they were trying to do. They're playing a lot of 3-by-1. And, I mean, you know, when you put three receivers to one side and then a receiver to the other side, the motion today, yesterday they were getting in 12 personnel and then switching where they take the they would take the tight ends and bring them over. They would exchange them from one side to the other, and then they would create that kind of that advantage. Today was a little bit more about with Hunter Lipke playing as the fullback. They also had Princeton Fant as a fullback guy. So they're trying to do a little bit more some what they call offset eye, where they have a single back and then the back, like a fullback to the right or to the left. And that's with a little bit more of a formation. When they were going single back, what they were doing was they were taking the say it's Williams, the running back, they were motioning him out and then motioning back in. So they're maybe seeing, okay, we're giving a read here, is this man coverage? That to me that motion doesn't really affect. That's more of a motion of saying, give my quarterback a read if they're playing man or zone.
Well, Brian, we're coming up on Krusty's Corner. I'm sure you have a notebook full of stuff we have questions for. Is there anything specific you'd like to tease?
No, let's just get into Krusty's Corner. I got a lot of things to talk about here. And again, I always take your questions, so appreciate that very much.
Shoot, yeah, let's rock. We're back with Broadus and Krusty's Corner here. Day two of camp. Practice is in the books, and we got more takeaways for you next to the Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. We have Brian Broadus on the tennis courts down there in Oxnard, California, set to deliver Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Without further ado, on the tennis courts, here's the man himself, the former Cowboy Scout, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. And thank you very much again to Reliant. I know, hey, I just want to tell the folks at Reliant, I got your hat on right now. I know nice. I'm having a little struggle with our Zoom stuff. I'm working with that. We'll hopefully get that squared away here in a little bit. But anyway, yeah, good practice today for the defense. I'm kind of keeping an eye out, guys, to my right. We got another podium guy today. I just don't know who it is, but we'll get that up. Maybe, you know, like Pickens sure took his time yesterday, so hopefully I can get through with Krusty's Corner before we do that. I mentioned it was, I thought, a pretty good day for your defensive players as well. I do want to put out there that a little bit that I mentioned Donovan Ezeraku, the very talented defensive end, the rusher. He had a nice pressure sack on our guy Booker today. I was kind of playing. I'm like, okay, let me watch Booker play a little bit here. But they ran a twist stun, and he came around, and Booker was slow to adjust to him. So, you know, that was one of the times I'm like, oh, okay, well, a little bit of quickness. So, you know, with Ezeraku, he's one of those guys, as we've talked about, that has that ability to kind of be able to adjust in mid-rush, and he was able to do that. Booker was thinking that, okay, I'm going to stay on the guy coming down inside. And then what happened was Ezeraku came around, and then Booker was too late. Kind of a rookie deal where all of a sudden, you know, he didn't see the twist all that well. And so that's why you had the problem there with the sack. I mean, Dak threw the ball. Ezeraku stayed off Dak. Dak threw the ball down there. Crowds cheering this big play. But honestly, it was about an 8-yard sack is what it was. But that was Booker against Ezeraku on that particular play.
So we did find out at the break, Deron Bland had a baby. And that's why he was not practicing today. So congrats to Deron Bland.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
And now with Easy, can you judge how he's going to handle an NFL run game and the linemen? He was so good at it in college. Is that going to translate easily?
Man, I'll tell you what, though. Today, they did a much better job of playing with outside arm free. They didn't get hooked like they did yesterday. And, you know, that was probably a little bit had to do with there were some times where I know yesterday Fowler went on an inside run for a tackle for loss. And then our guy... our other defensive end, Sam Williams did the same thing. So Flews was playing with a little bit of that, and we'd call it that slant front, where you sit there and you're saying, okay, we're gonna slant the front one way and then run the linebackers the other to kind of fill the gaps and walk a safety down to maybe do that. And so that's kind of how they were playing. They just looked a little bit more solid playing the run today. There weren't those, like I mentioned, there weren't those big gaps. But Ezeraku, he's one of those guys that just wants to get up the field quick, but he's got enough power to be able to hold up if he has to come back and retrace his steps. He's not a guy that's going to get washed up the field and then you lose him. He's going to fight up field, and then he has the ability to come back. So I think that as long as he has that ability to continue to move the way he is, I think that's where he goes. Hey, Christy, who's going to be on the podium today? CeeDee Lamb's on the podium today, guys. Nice. So we'll as soon as that gets going, I'll sure let you know. I know Lucius is will be able to, and it looks like CeeDee's walking right by me right now. So we can, I don't know if you want to go to that or just keep going with Crutch's
Corner.
Yeah,
we can. You know, let us know when he's about to start talking. Looks like LA's giving us a thumbs up.
Okay, well, cool. LA's always ready. So, yeah, he's walking right now with Tad, and they're kind of talking. Good for CeeDee being on time. Yesterday, George Pickens was, I went and had lunch and then came back and was visiting. So, yeah, CeeDee's just a little bit, he is right of our broadcast position. But, yeah, good day by him with the screen stuff and some of the downfield stuff that he was able to do. Like I say, Joe Milton is a little bit more willing to throw the ball down the field right now. Dak's kind of looking, trying to read a little bit and pick some things up. So as I'm speaking, CeeDee Lamb walking to the podium. He is now in front of the podium, and we are getting ready to go. Let's do it.
First time up here.
Really?
Ever. I finally made it, huh?
Calvin, start us off. Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Your thoughts on today's feisty practice? You know, it's already 2 days in, and you already got a couple of...
I feel like the anticipation, and it's a lot of guys that are antsy to put pads on, and that's kind of the tendency when you get a lot of guys that's excited to play ball. But we do have to have a lot more discipline. I do feel like we got to learn how to practice. But besides that, man, the energy is going to be up. I don't get the, not to call anyone out, the fall on the ground situation. Some can be controlled, but then sometimes we're playing ball. That's the one that kind of put a little question mark on me. But I do love what Shotty's doing here. We gotta instill more discipline between the guys, myself included. Even if I'm not a part of it, I can do a better job of leading these guys and understanding the situation and feeling like we can, like, I get it that you're angry, but we don't have no pads on. Like, it's literally no protection. So whatever you do is going to hurt us as a team and as a unit. So just together being better at practice overall and just having a little more self-control and understanding the situation, it's bittersweet. It can go either way.
Part of what Shotty was, because I think after that fight, he kind of brought everybody together. Was that part of his message?
Yeah, because he had, the first practice wasn't as clean as we want, so he was already on edge because we need to learn how to practice. That's exactly what he's preached that in meetings, and we got to be professionals at the end of the day. I get it that we have a lot of animosity and tension between us and understanding that we want to proclaim dominance and show, like, aggressiveness on both sides of the ball, but then again, to what extent, you know? So just understanding, again, what he's trying to do here and instilling this culture and just put us on the right path.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. You said you've never been in the podium. Your first time at camp since 23. Can you just talk about being out here in excitement to be at camp after missing it last year?
Yeah, I don't think anyone here is more excited than me. Maybe Sam Williams. It's kind of a debate. We'll see. But no, I love every part of being here with the guys, grinding. Even when I'm tired, I kind of think about last year. That when I wasn't here, when I wasn't tired, and just doing the things that I love with my team and being better on my craft and having his helmet on and just being able to work with Dak and talk to Dak and understand, like, what is he seeing? Like, those conversations, those are the type of things that I've missed. And it doesn't feel any better. And then, again, having GP here, having the young guys in the room and things of that nature, like, you miss out on those type of things when you really love the game. And as for me, I don't think it's no question how much I do love this game and how much effort I put into it. So, man, this is amazing. It's I'm glad that I'm here.
Do you think missing camp had impacted your game at all at the beginning of last year? And then what would be the difference this year?
At first, I didn't. I didn't believe it, but obviously I was a little oblivious to the truth. I will be honest. It's just, I can be as strong, as fast, as explosive as I want to be, but if I can't control it to where Dak understands how explosive or how in and out my breaks I can be, I think I did that essentially just for me, and it's not never just for me. I have to do things to his tailoring, essentially, just making sure that he's enjoying, he's seeing the right things, he's seeing my breaks, it's defined routes, it's small things, man. It's critiquing myself, not slipping on some of the routes, just having my foot right, things of that nature. So, like, just being available for my team and being here, being able to lead, being able to tell guys right from wrong, things of that nature. Like, I feel like the small things that I could have done last year, obviously not being here because of my situation, but that's neither here nor there. I got it done. I'm happy to be here. I'm able to lead my troops again. It's good.
Todd Archer with ESPN. When did you realize that a camp did have an impact? Was it during the season, after the season, when you reviewed things?
Honestly, it was during the San Fran game. I want to say the first half. That's when I was like, wow, everything that I was doing, it was really just for me, honestly, just making sure that I was in the best shape that I could possibly be in for my team. Not that I was in the best shape with my team, for my team, with the guys that I love, you know? So, I mean, I did all I could do to be available. Granted, it worked out, but I, like, small things. And then I ended up getting injured at the end of the season. It was kind of weird for me. It was just a different season. It wasn't my new norm. It was my new norm, but it wasn't normal for me.
Obviously, we know you move around a bunch, different spots, slot, outside, running back even. What type of mental challenge is that to figure it all out?
It's not a challenge for me, honestly. I love playing ball. I'm very comfortable in all three positions, receiver, inside, out, and then occasional running back. It's my ability to show my gratitude to the game, give effort, and just make a play whenever I could touch the ball.
Tom Shuttle with The Athletic. After your big run, you and George had a celebration. How long have you guys been working on that? Is there any description that you can share on what that was?
Nah, I don't want to give any description, but as far as working on it, it took us 2 days.
You got the job of rent to me.
Hey, do what you want with that info.
Guys have, at least from our perspective, it looks like you guys have clicked, you know, like you guys have a genuine bond. Why do you think that's happening?
Honestly, it's just the type of receiver that we both are and that we see in each other, and the expected greatness that we see in each other. As for GP, man, I want him to get everything that he's deserved in his career. Obviously, there's a narrative wrapped around him, which I haven't seen yet. And as for me, I know it's my job to make sure he's treading that line of perfection that we need, you know. And he has all the intangibles. He's a great receiver. He's a great person. He's everything that the people say he isn't, and I feel like he don't get enough credit for being who he is. But you never know the type of situation that people are going through. So just being so quick to put a narrative on something that you don't really fully explain, like, understand yet, I feel like just kind of jumping a gun. But as for GP, man, he's a hard worker. He wants to be great. He's wanting to learn. And I love that the most about him, because I'm the same way. Like, if there's anything that you see in my game that I feel like I need to work on, let me know. And I'll think about it. I'll have it in the back of my head. And as I'm watching this film and we go over it together, I have that in my mind. And he's the same way. So just being able to relate to him is probably the best thing for me, and obviously for him. And in the end, it's going to be the best for us as a team.
Harris, Former Star Telegram. I know last year was pretty tough for you. Getting George in, do you feel like there's been a switch in energy in your personality, your game because of his arrival?
Honestly, I feel like this whole year, like everything that all the moves that we made in this offseason changed his culture. Not saying the culture that we didn't have, like that we had last year or the years prior, because Mike had a great situation going on. Obviously, it didn't pan out the way that we wanted, but Shotty came in and he's wanting us to compete literally every single day. It doesn't matter what we do. We wake up, get ready to compete as soon as we get in the team meeting room. So as for us and GP, he's an incredible athlete, incredible football player, and his ability to go up and get the ball, you guys haven't seen it yet, but those days are literally coming, and he's like a cage animal, and so am I. But today it's been fun. We're starting to click more. He's starting to get the real feel of the offense and understand the game, understand the checks, and Dak is able to be comfortable with him to just throw him anywhere. And I feel like that's where we're getting to in this offense, and just being able to attack and just to continue to attack until the end of the game. I feel like that's what we're trying to do here. Stay in shape, stay conditioned all four quarters, and then we'll see what happens at the end of the fourth.
Mike is going through a very similar situation you went through last year. What's been kind of your message of support for him and being there for him?
For Mike, man, Mike knows I love him, and being in this situation, obviously playing this media game with Jerry is not the best, it's not fun, it's not recommended. But as for Micah, he knows what he brings to this table, honestly, for this team, for himself, and he should get what he deserves. And I'm not indulging in any of the craziness that they got going, but I do want Micah to get paid soon.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. You had mentioned that last year was kind of the most banged up you've been in your career.
For sure.
Does being back here hopefully alleviate hopes that that doesn't happen anymore? Like, just you can kind of get used to the wear and tear again?
No, absolutely. It will. And I'm getting so much more out of this than people think I am. And just being with the guys and being able to lead and being able to talk and being able to show these guys, like, what I'm capable of doing. And every day I'm coming out here willing to prove myself every day. I don't care how much money I got. I don't care how much money that you saw on the internet. That has nothing to do with my presence on the field. And as far as being able to stay available is one of my best attributes. So just not being out there with my guys, they know that it hurt me, and I hate it the most, because I put my all in this game, and I do respect it enough to feel like I should be there with those guys battling in and out. And not being there again, it sucked. But being in here this year for camp, it's amazing. I know my presence is felt already.
You feel
100%? Oh, I feel 1,000%, for sure.
Joe Hoyt, Dallas Morning News. Both Brian Schottenheimer and George Pickens said if people got to know George Pickens, that they would understand him.
For sure.
If people got to know him, what would they learn about him?
That he's not as crazy as he seems to be, literally. Like, I seen what y'all seen on film. Like, I trust me. I know what it looks like. But if you talk to this man and have a decent conversation, I guarantee you, you'll understand that this man is kind of hard. When we get on the field, it's a different beast. I expect him to be an animal. But, like, when we have an on and off button. Everybody on this field does. On any field, honestly, it's just, man, when you're passionate about something, you don't really care what the narrative is around you. Like, you know how much effort you've given into this game, and we do this, we've done it our whole lives. This is all we know. So, like, when you're upset, it's probably for a reason. You might not know the reason, and that's okay, because, I mean, it has nothing to do with you, but you're going to give your judgment because you feel like it's necessary or needed, and it's not. But, I mean, at the end of the day, GP, I'm glad he's here. He knows I love him the most. I tell him every day I'm happy for him. Hope we go together for X amount of years. I don't care. I just know that we're not going to do this for one.
You mentioned you brought up Sam Williams being excited. Obviously different position groups, but how did you see his excitement for this moment to get back filled over the last year?
I don't know if y'all know, but I love hanging around defensive players. That's always been my thing. And in my mind, I have the mentality of a defensive player, and that's to be aggressive, and that's to dominate whoever is in front of me. And naturally, as a defensive player, that should be your mindset. But just seeing the way, like, I know Sam, again, personally. just understanding last year was kind of a freak accident. And obviously, me not being there, it was sickening because I had to find out through the news and I didn't see any of it. And I'm like, this is crazy. And I know the type of player that he is. And Sam is a hell of a player. He's an amazing player at that. He's a run stopper. He's a pass rusher. I feel like he's going to be the one that you guys are going to see that's going to pop out a lot. And I've told a lot of my friends in the offseason, I've told plenty of people before even the camp started that he's going to be one of those ones that you're going to have to watch out for. You don't know it yet, but guarantee you. Like, it's a lot of buzz around guys like myself, Dak, Micah, GP, Ferg, Terp, who need it as well. But, man, I'm telling y'all, Sam, stay. Everybody stays healthy. We're gonna be in for something.
Sam, Sam Gannon, Fox Sports Dallas. Have you set any personal goals for yourself this season? And second part to the question, Shoddy talks so much about culture. Is that easy for you and the rest of the guys to buy into? When you have a guy like Schottenheimer who seems so genuine in his approach with you guys and wanting to get to know who you guys are as men, not just players.
Absolutely. I do have a lot of personal goals for sure, and I never share them, but I will say one of my personal goals is to stay available throughout this whole season. That's probably my biggest one. I put a star by it in all of my notes. And I know I had one season where it went bad, but one thing about injuries, once you let it in, things start to trickle down. And for me, I'm not weak-minded, and nor mentally am I challenged. It's just I know the damage that this football game brings and to the body physically, and I know how I play, and I'm very aggressive. So one of my goals, make it throughout the whole season and the whole team stays healthy. That's literally one of my biggest goals. Let's let that play out, and then we'll see how everything else goes. But as far as Shoddy, man, he's a genuine guy, and he's been around us for, I want to say, my whole career. Honestly, I've seen him in the building, but having him in his head coach role, he's taking it, and his pops, obviously, you can see. I've never met his pops, and I know he loves him a lot and dearly, and he looks up to him, and it's big. You could tell. I've just off of his energy, you could tell how you can kind of almost predict how his pops used to coach, you know, and that's a legend. And for Shoddy, I want the same thing. And then seeing him going against Shoddy in 2020, actually, he was in Seattle, seeing what he did with Tyler Lockett and DK, it was the ball was going up and down. Obviously, he had Russell Wilson at quarterback as well. You know, he did pretty good things there. And I feel like he can carry over here and be as aggressive. And for us, we'll run through a wall for him.
Yeah. Jones, CBS, Texas. How does this wide receiver room rank with the rest of the league now?
I like us versus anybody, honestly. Versus anyone, any room. I don't care what they be saying in the media. I see it. I ignore it. We'll see y'all in September. I don't really do too much talking.
Jonah Javad, WFAA, the touchdown celebration we saw today. Are we going to see that during
the season? Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
Now, the follow-up is this. Who pays the fine if there's a fine? Is it going to be split 50-50?
Nah, I pay the fines.
Whoever scores the touchdown?
Nah, I pay the fines, but it shouldn't be a fine. But Lord knows they love to give it to us. So, well, myself personally. So, we'll see.
Are you expecting to be fined for that?
I'm not. But, I mean, we'll see.
Daniel Stevens, CW33 Sports. CD, it's funny because you talked last year about how off the year was, but you still had over 100 receptions, almost 1,200 yards. Is it almost scary for the rest of the league to see a CD that feels 1,000% with a training camp? How scared should the league be?
I feel like the league knows what happens when I'm healthy and I have Dak for a whole season. But if you don't, I will happily show you what it's going to be like this year. Honestly, I'm a dominant receiver. I don't like to speak highly of myself, but I can't wait to show you guys.
Hey, Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Shoddy is talking a lot about offense running multiples under center, shotguns, pistols, wildcats as the most potent weapon on the Cowboys offense, also the versatile one. What does it do for you mentally to hear your offensive coordinator talk about that kind of attack, that kind of misdirection?
Man, it's exciting because I see a lot of slot receiver comments. I don't know who started it, but God, y'all are awfully wrong. Sheesh. We'll see again. But shout out Shotty, though. He's given us the ability to showcase our ability, get downfield, push the ball, be as aggressive as we want, open up the route tree, and, show us how dynamic we are with the ball in our hands, no matter who it is. And it's fun. It's a fun offense. And, again, I can't wait till he calls these shots and do what he got to do as a head coach. And we do what we got to do as players and make them look good.
Last two.
Patrick took my question, so I'm good.
You're welcome.
CD, obviously we know the numbers you put up and what you can do. At this point in your career, what do you work on to get better when you've produced the way you've produced?
My technique. Obviously, some things that I could fix. I look at, like, I've done a lot of things right, but I look at the things that I do wrong and see how I can capitalize on that. Like, as for me, I want to see what it's looked like to have a season with no drops, right? And I want to see what it looked like to have a season when I don't slip. I want to see what it looked like when a season where I do block, just pick up this extra block and see what the running back does. It's like so many things in this game that I know I can get better at, and the things that I critique myself so much, I genuinely don't think is anybody harder on me than I am, no matter what the comments are. But as for me, it's being the best teammate, best leader, best guy, best role model, best captain, that I could possibly be for these guys, and see where that takes us.
Do you like this mentor part of it?
I do. I really do, because I remember when I was on Hard Knocks when I was a youngin', you know, and it was like that's when I got my hard introduction of what it's like to be on the Dallas Cowboys. And I was genuinely asking Coop. I remember asking Coop questions about how to beat guys, how to run these type of routes, and the fact that I'm now in this shoe, in this light, with the success that I've had in this league, I look back on moments like that, and it's kind of exciting, and I'm happy that I've had guys like that, and I want to be that guy for these guys, and I want to see these guys perform and be excellent, be great, be remembered in this league, because it don't last long, right? And we only have so much time, so let's make the most of it. And let's make all these memories together, and then we could look back on these, like, maybe 20 years later and be like, dang, we had a great run.
Tremendous media session there from 88 Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Our coverage brought to you by the on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. I just think that these media sessions are tremendous. They're carrying the energy. It's like leadership flows from the top, and you can see the Schottenheimer impact in a way. You know, maybe that's the Dak Prescott impact as well with the leadership stuff he does in the offseason. But the energy, I mean, they all have positive thoughts and concepts, and they're all desiring to be their best and, like, talking about it and being excited about it. Hopefully, you know, this is the kind of stuff that can create the culture to cut through 30 years of disappointment. But it's like they've been reading great books about how to be the best versions of themselves, and they're excited to talk to people about it. That's kind of what this camp has reminded me of so far. I love the Sam Williams stuff he had in there about the run stopper, and we need those guys, and he's excited if everybody can stay healthy about, getting the job done this year. So thanks to CeeDee for making himself available. I mean, that was like 17, 18 minutes of just gold from the Cowboys All-Pro wide receiver. What are we coming back with next, Wolchuk?
We'll go ahead and try and hit a little bit of what's going on around the National Football League right now. Hey, somebody's got to go ahead and rebuild trust. And how many games do you think this person's actually going to start? That's next.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.